Hi there, Up First listeners. We have a special presentation of our reporting from Pakistan this week. Leading up to the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, an NPR team traveled parts of a country that was central to the story of 20 years of war that followed. Pakistan was an ally of the United States in the war in neighboring Afghanistan. It was a victim of an insurgency that spilled over onto its territory. And it was the place that U.S. Navy SEALs found and killed Osama bin Laden 10 years ago. The al-Qaeda leader and his group were never broadly popular in the country where he was killed, yet for some people here, a certain hazy sympathy for bin Laden lives.
We just got off of a major highway and rolled past a blue and white sign that says, "Welcome to Abbottabad."
Until 10 years ago, most Americans had never heard of Abbottabad.
Whoa! Three lanes of traffic on this two-lane road.
Though Pakistanis knew it as a vacation city where neighborhoods spread up steep mountain slopes. We stopped at what seemed like a vacant lot where a local resident had agreed to meet us.
Mr. Masood. Hello.
Masood Khan is a local lawyer, a friend of a friend, who showed up elegantly dressed in a black vest that many Pakistanis favor. He gestured across the grassy lot to a concrete slab about the size of a house.
This used to be the compound. They demolished it, probably because they thought it might become a shrine or something.
The compound where bin Laden hid is now open space, where neighborhood kids play.
What was the first thing that you saw or heard on the night of the raid that made you think something was going on?
The explosion. There was a big explosion at around 2 o'clock.
Not until later did Masood learn the explosion was likely Navy SEALs destroying one of their damaged helicopters on their way out with bin Laden's body. As he told us the story of that night, the children in the lot flew a kite above the power lines.
Yeah, and they play here. I believe they've turned it into a cricket pitch and they come here and play.
Has anyone here heard of Osama bin Laden?
Osama ka sunay? Osama bin Laden ka?
They say yes, they have heard or they haven't heard?
They have.
Okay. What do you know about Osama bin Laden?
He says that this is the entire plot was his.
Who was he?
Kaun tha wo?
Oh, Osama tha.
Achcha tha?
Ah, achcha tha.
He was a good man.
Now that was just a casual question to a kid. Was he good? Yes. But some adults say this too.
Do you think there are a lot of people here who think Osama bin Laden was a good man?
Obviously. I mean, he is portrayed over here as the man who stood up to the United States and its policies. So they all consider him to be a hero.
Bin Laden is, in other words, a political symbol. Just as the foundation of bin Laden's compound remains in Abbottabad, certain attitudes about him persist. A couple of hours away, in the city of Rawalpindi, we talked with people in the Raja Bazaar amid the chaos of shoe vendors and banana carts. We asked the first 10 people we met about bin Laden and got two kinds of answers. Some said no comment, while others spoke well of him.
Theek hai, nice man. Achha tha wo.
Lion.
People consider him a lion.
Lion of Islam.
This gentleman wants to say something, I think. I do not want to say about Osama, but I would say about this 9/11, that was a drama and it was orchestrated to justify an attack on a Muslim country and they did not know which country are they going to attack. Eight minutes.
This man endorses a conspiracy theory for which there is no evidence that America attacked itself. There's little recent polling on such ideas, but a 2015 poll found about half of Pakistanis surveyed said the U.S. was responsible for 9/11. That, too, seems like a political statement. Gallup Pakistan found the number shot up after the U.S. killed bin Laden here without asking Pakistan's permission. Mohsen Daur, a Pakistani lawmaker, says he is not surprised.
People on the streets call him a good man because he has been projected as a good man by our state.
Our state?
Yes, our media and politicians here.
If I watched a lot of Urdu TV, I would see more positive
about
portrayals.
Him?
Yeah.
Too much. You'll never say anything wrong about him.
What do you think of Osama bin Laden?
Well, I called him a terrorist. He was a terrorist.
Dower is sure of this because of where he lives, along the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. He views bin Laden as the man who provoked 20 years of war that spread to Pakistan and even to his village. But the U.S. withdrawal from that war has boosted bin Laden's image. That's what we heard from Hamid Mir, who 20 years ago was the last independent journalist to interview the al-Qaeda leader. What is the legacy of Osama bin Laden?
The legacy of Osama bin Laden is sitting in the presidential palace in Kabul now. Who is ruling Afghanistan now? Taliban. Who are Taliban? The biggest allies of Osama bin Laden.
Al-Qaeda has been devastated through U.S. attacks over the years, though a recent United Nations report says the Taliban still shelter the group.
Al-Qaeda is still there. Bin Laden is not there physically. But who are Taliban? They refused to hand over Osama bin Laden to United States. They sacrificed their government in 2001 just for Osama bin Laden. Who is vindicated? United States or Osama bin Laden? His ghost is ruling Afghanistan today.
And at least a few figures in the much larger nation of Pakistan dream of seizing the moment. Abdullah Gul is among those who turn aside the horror of 9/11 by casting doubt that bin Laden did it.
Even now, Osama bin Laden is being admired because no enough evidence was given by anyone.
The wars in this region have lasted two generations, and Abdullah Gul is part of the second. His father, Hamid Gul, was a Pakistani intelligence chief who used to help funnel money and American-made Stinger missiles to Afghan guerrilla fighters. The U.S.-backed Mujahideen in the 1980s were battling the Soviet Union. They included bin Laden, and also briefly included Abdullah Gul, who says he volunteered for his father's war.
I remember that the Stingers used to come from America. I have seen and fired one Stinger myself.
These days, Abdullah Gul has started his own political party and is hoping to participate in Pakistan's next elections.
Somebody asked me, a very senior diplomat, he said, what do you think about that Taliban are going to export their ideology? I said, no, they are not going to export their ideology. But nobody can stop importing ideology.
Importing ideology.
Importing ideology.
People are going to import it to Pakistan.
Look at Pakistan. The judicial system is not functioning. It is not delivering to the common man. Look at the political system. So there is a dire need of a system change in Pakistan.
Now, it's fair to ask at this point, what's it really matter if some people sympathize with a long-dead extremist? Al-Qaeda and its tactics were never popular with the majority in this country of over 200 million. Visitors instead find a diverse and open-minded populace. Radical Islamist parties routinely stand for election and routinely lose. But of course, one way to overturn the will of the majority is through political violence, which Pakistan still has. Pakistan's own version of the Taliban have lately claimed responsibility for new attacks, and that casts a different light on those who casually defend bin Laden.
Is it actually dangerous if lots of people think Osama bin Laden was a good man?
It is dangerous after so much destruction.
Mohsen Dawar, the Pakistani legislator, says the wars of the past two decades killed thousands of his own countrymen.
Do you think people who say he was a good man just don't realize what you just told me?
Of course. There is a lot which needs to be done in terms of political education.
But the political education Dawar wants may not be the education some students receive. Consider a school in Islamabad where children memorize the Quran by reciting it. Islamabad is a modern capital city, but when you step through the gates of Jamia Hafsa, you're on a sparse compound of white buildings. A man showed us in, invited us to sit on the floor, and said through our interpreter that nobody here has taken COVID vaccines.
We don't put on masks either in the entire university or this religious institution. Because God will protect us.
This is a school for girls.
That is a madrasa.
I stayed behind while teacher Taiba Ghazi led the three women in our team around a courtyard crowded with students.
There are students. They are now studying because today starting our exams.
Among men, she wears a niqab with her head covered entirely in black except for an eye slit. She removed it among female students with our producer Samantha Balaban.
Are they all from religious families?
No, normal families.
She says students come from many kinds of families and learn more than the Quran. Pakistan's government is pressing religious schools to broaden their curriculum. But this school is distinctive. Taiba's father, the chancellor of the school, is a prominent cleric named Maulana Abdulaziz. In the past, he described extremist movements as simple reactions to government injustice. He's considered so radical that security forces once besieged the so-called Red Mosque where he preached. And he's on a list of several thousand Pakistani figures banned from interviews or public speaking under an anti-terrorism law. He still runs his schools. His daughter is less fiery, but radical enough. What do you think of Osama bin Laden?
In my opinion, he is a good man because he is not a terrorist. We think he is a fundamentalist.
What is the difference between a terrorist and a fundamentalist?
आपके ख्याल में terrorist और fundamentalist में क्या फर्क है?
देखिए, मेरे नजदीक तो अगर आप कहेंगे ना तो आज के दौर में
She says a terrorist is a person who frightens other people. A policeman could be a terrorist. She says nobody who is fighting for his rights could be described as a terrorist. Maulana Abdulaziz has another school for boys. People here report that some students in the past went off to join the Afghan Taliban, and after they took Kabul, more went. We talked with people at Jamia Hafsa while sitting on the floor of the library, which makes the school's political sympathies clear. A sign above the doorway gives its name, the Library of Osama bin Laden, Martyr. This is a special edition of Up First. After a break, we travel to the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. Commercial flights have resumed out of Taliban-controlled Afghanistan. At the same time, some people try to slip out by land. And perhaps surprisingly to some, people are also on their way into Afghanistan. So we visited a border crossing in the mountains along the Pakistan border. We wanted to understand what we'd be looking at, so on the way we stopped at the city of Peshawar, which is guarded by a massive brick fortress, centuries old.
This region is somehow caught between various empires.
We had coffee with Safraz Khan, who teaches at the local university. We were on our way to the Khyber Pass, used by traders and invaders from Alexander the Great to the British Empire. In the 1980s, U.S.-backed militants ranged into Afghanistan from here. In the 2000s, Taliban militants attacked on both sides of the border. The ethnic Pashtuns who inhabit this region crossed back and forth.
There was practically no border.
But in recent years, Pakistan tightened security. A fence now climbs the mountain slopes and makes it harder to slip across these days.
Yesterday I had a call from my daughter and she said that there are a few young girls and they want to come to Pakistan. They are very scared. They got a small baby, no male accompanying them. And can you do something for them?
Professor Khan says he'd pick them up if they reach Pakistan, but he doesn't know how they can cross.
Where right now you are sitting, just 20 kilometers away, you have a place known as Tor Kham. That is the border checkpost between Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Tor Kham was our destination. The road through the Khyber Pass weaves up into dry, craggy mountains. Oh, we're now climbing, doing a series of switchbacks up the mountain.
Yeah, my ears just popped.
That's our editor, Arzu Rezvani. 3 miles from the border, we began passing a line of parked trucks. One colorful truck after another by the side of the road.
There are guys taking naps under their trucks. That's how long they have to wait in line.
We had permission to drive to the very edge of Pakistan, so close that our phones switched over to the Afghan network.
I just got a ping, welcome to Afghanistan. Calls cost $2.99 a minute.
I guess that means you've made it. We reached the Pakistani checkpoint, a few old buildings at the bottom of the dusty valley.
Yep, here we are.
We parked near waiting trucks as the hot sun dipped behind a mountain. The border was lined with bougainvillea, great purple and white flowers along an iron fence. The road itself was wide open, without even a painted line, though gunmen stood on that road near a white Taliban flag. We're just a few feet from the place where people are having their documents checked. There are vehicles in this lane, and then over on the other side of this fence, a line of people. We were so close that one of our colleagues reached over into Afghanistan and handed his NPR business card to a black-turbaned Taliban official. Next to him, a Taliban guard wore a crisp green uniform with a blue patch saying Afghan National Police, a uniform bought for the old U.S.-backed force. Anything in Afghanistan is now under Taliban control. Massive trucks rolled into Afghanistan carrying concrete and other supplies. Trucks rolled out of Afghanistan piled high with onions and grapes. The trucks are decorated with metal chains that jingle as they roll. But our focus was the line of people on a long walkway lined by iron bars. It wasn't a mob scene. A few hundred people stood quietly in line. Dr. Rahimullah Alokazai was allowed to cross. Through the fence, he told us he traveled here from the northern city of Mazar-e-Sharif because he fears for the future. His language, Dari, is similar to our editor Arzu's Persian.
Why does he think the Taliban will not govern well?
شما فکر میکنی که طالبان خوب برای مردم کار میکنن؟
فعلا خوب است. آینده نامعلوم داره. فیوچر خراب است.
He says it's actually fine right now, but the future is uncertain.
He doubts the Taliban because of the way they governed the last time they were in power. Only one or two people seem to be let through at a time. Pakistan has said it can't take more refugees, having received millions from the past 40 years of war. But it will let in people who have documents to travel onward, and the doctor says he can move with relatives to Germany. Other people at this crossing are moving in the opposite direction. They're crossing northward into Afghanistan. We watched an elderly man return. People lifted him from a Pakistani wheelchair to an Afghan one and rolled him across. Another man, Saeed al-Rahman, is Pakistani. He's returning to the Afghan medical school he's been attending. He says he thinks Afghanistan is safer now that the Americans are gone.
Why was it unsafe when America was there?
Because there was no signal of dropping bomb from helicopter and plane.
The Americans had helicopters and planes, and you thought they might kill you.
When we were sleeping, then helicopters were flying over the roof, and everything was get tremors.
Tremors from the bombs.
Yeah.
The most desperate people on the Pakistani side of the border were those waiting. Pakistani Mohammed Qasim has been waiting for a relative to come out. He said the relative was just on the other side.
American passport.
They have American passport and they want to go to America.
American.
But authorities are not letting them in.
Citizens.
Citizen American.
They are American citizens. Where are they now?
Kahan hai wo? Udhar hai, us taraf.
Border
ke saath. Side of the border.
This border crossing, just a few hundred meters this way.
Yeah.
His relative said they arrived without a document needed from Pakistan's Interior Ministry, and after waiting hours, returned home to Kabul in defeat. We could not confirm the relative's U.S. citizenship, but the U.S. State Department has said it is helping all Americans who want to go. People at this crossing say only a few hundred travelers make it through per day, though commerce of many kinds is moving. By the Pakistani checkpoint, we spotted 15 kids, boys and girls, sitting on the ground by stacks of old tires. They were holding burlap sacks. One of the kids, who said he was 10, is an Afghan cigarette smuggler who regularly is sent into Pakistan.
We go by ourselves.
The Afghan children sneak into the giant cargo trucks, hiding in the toolbox or in the spare tire well, or even under the truck between the axles. If they don't fall off and die, they may make it to Pakistan to sell their goods. But on this day, the Pakistani inspectors found these kids on various trucks. And on a signal from an official, the Afghan children picked up their sacks and hurried back across the Afghan border, running home. Some of our reporting from Pakistan on this special episode of Up First. I'm Steve Inskeep. Join us Monday for your regular update of the news you need to start your day.